and all of you who are joining us from various locations throughout the United States or maybe other countries. We are glad that you are joining us at our live stream worship service. We love connecting with you each and every week, whether it's Sunday morning or Monday morning at 11 a.m. for our children's programming, or Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our Bible devotional, or even our 8:30 Friday evening worship and praise time with Matthew and Kayla. So we just are so thankful we have all these opportunities to gather together, at least in spirit, until we can gather again in person. And I know I get a lot of messages, emails, phone calls. When are we going to meet? When are we going to meet? Well, brothers and sisters, be patient. That is soon coming. But we are just leaving it in the Lord's hands, and we are discussing and talking, and the protocols are all basically in place, and we look forward to letting you know that day when we can gather together and really worship the Lord. But we want you to know also that we are going to continue with our live stream service as well as we go forward. So if you can't be here because you're not in Grand Rapids, or you simply can't get out, live stream service will continue. So thank you for being a part of the Kentwood Christian Church worship time. We are in a series entitled, The Word of God is Like a Lion. And I've stressed each week that comes out of a line that Charles Spurgeon used when he said, the Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. You just have to let a lion loose, and the lion will defend itself. And what he meant by that quote was that God's word is all-sufficient. It is self-sufficient. And God, through his inspiration of his word, will always allow his word to be accomplished, no matter how people receive it or reject it. The Word of God is mighty and powerful. And we have taken the month of May to talk about just beautiful truths of God's Word. We've looked at how God's Word is foundational in our lives and that we are to build our lives upon it. We've talked about the Word of God being the light that reveals darkness and exposes wrong things, but reveals right things. We've talked about how God's word is enduring and everlasting. And even if the heavens and earth disappear, the word of God will never pass away. And that in itself is just so comforting, to know that God's word is that broad and is that powerful in our lives and in this world. God's word has the power and the ability to touch the heart and to turn a heart from stone to a heart of flesh. This morning, we're going to look at a text that is another beautiful text, and we're going to look at prophecy of Scripture. But I want to do it this way. I often hear people ask me or share with others how, well, knowledge of God is not as important as a life lived, doing things. Or you hear the opposite, doing is more important than knowledge. And which is it? Well, my brothers and sisters, it's both. That's why Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, and by so doing, you will save yourself and those who listen to you. Life is important, but life cannot be lived without knowledge of God's desires, what God's will is. Without knowledge, we don't know of the cross of Christ and the suffering servant and the shed blood and redemption and salvation. And so life is important. Doctrine is important. They're equally important. But it is through the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we have knowledge of the things that we are to do. So I hope that you will make knowledge of God and His Word a priority in your life, and that you'll also make a priority to live out that knowledge that you have. In 2 Peter chapter 1, you see that Peter begins to relate an experience that he had with Jesus early on. And in this experience that he had, he shares it against the situation that he's presently in. And that situation he's presently in is he is near the end of his life. Peter is going to soon pass from this life. Well, how do we know that? Peter tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has made it clear. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 14, Peter says this, "Because I know that I will soon put this tent, this body, aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me." So Peter, writing out of this experience of soon to pass from this life, begins to tell an event, a powerful event, that really impacted his life as he looks back and compares some similarities that he himself has with Jesus Christ. And that powerful story that Peter reflects on is the transfiguration found in Matthew chapter 17, basically verses 1 through 9 and 10. But what happens is Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and leads them by themselves up on this high mountain that later is called the Sacred Mountain. But Jesus takes Peter, James, and John there, and something spectacular happens. Jesus is changed. He is transfigured before these disciples' eyes. And they are absolutely stunned and terrified, and they fall on their knees, and there is this bright cloud that has enveloped Jesus, but also Moses and Elijah have appeared with Jesus. And Peter begins, you know, in his moment of terrified and not knowing what to say, he says, "Oh Lord, it's good that we're here." And it was. What an experience. "If you wish, I'll build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And I think it was Peter's way of saying, "This is such a wonderful thing that we're getting to be a part of. Let's just stay up here forever and live in this moment." It was truly a mountaintop experience for Peter, James, and John. But then something else happens. There is this voice they hear. And this voice says, "This is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And that voice touches them so deep that later Peter, in retelling this magnificent story, says, "Oh, we heard the voice. The voice of majesty speak." And that voice confirmed for us that this Jesus that we had been following was truly the unique, only one-of-a-kind Son of God the Father Almighty. Because we went up on that mountain, and Jesus had his normal flesh and blood appearance. But in this transfiguration, everything changed. His face, the only way Peter could describe it was, became as bright as the sun. And his clothing became as white as light. Can you just see that? Peter just tells it so vividly. And we find out in Luke that what they were talking about, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, was Jesus' departure. Because this event in Jesus' life was near the end of his life. And he was going to go back down the mountain that very day. It says, as they went down the mountain, and he would enter Jerusalem, and he would go into Jerusalem and ultimately be crucified and lifted up. Wow, what a mountaintop experience, and what a deep, dark valley in so many ways. We just see just the fullness of the spectrum of emotion. But they talked about his departure. Moses, he'd had a departure. Elijah had a magnificent departure, but they talked about his departure. And as Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, talks about this event that Jesus has told him in Matthew 17, 9, don't tell anybody about this event until after I have risen. Because Jesus allowed these three disciples to see him as he actually is from the very beginning of time, as flesh and blood are stripped away, and the brilliance and the glory and the majesty of who he is in his divine nature shines through. And Peter is now near the end of his life in 2 Peter, as Jesus was near the end of his life in Matthew 17. And as they talk to Jesus about his departure, Peter uses the same language in 2 Peter to talk about his departure. But it is in his talking and sharing these stories near the end of his life that you see him again and again use the idea that I want to remind you of some things. I want to refresh your memory. I want to make sure that after I leave this life, there are some things that you will always remember. Now, you and I know, if you've ever had a chance to be by someone's bedside when they pass from this life, if they have the mindset, the awareness, they will share the things that are dearest and most important to them. They'll share their love. They'll share the encouragement to be faithful, especially if they're Christians. And that's what Peter does. He reminds and refreshes the memory. He says, I know you know it, but I want to make sure you know it. It'd be like a parent with their grown children stressing again and again, knowing that they are soon to leave this life. Be faithful. Never drift away from God. Cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the language that Peter uses in chapter 1 through this remind, refresh, and always remember, he goes through chapter 2 and chapter 3 with it, but he talks over and over and over and over again. You need the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the knowledge of Scripture. Brothers and sisters, that's why I say knowledge of Jesus Christ, head knowledge, is critically important. Heart is so important as well, but you've got to know what to believe. And Peter says, I want you to know these truths about God, about his Son, that are in his Word. And that's why the Word is so important. The things that have been told or prophesied are important. When we think of prophecy, we often equate it with something new, something we've not heard, something that someone is saying about a scripture. And I'm just telling you, for me personally, I listen to a lot of the things that people say about prophecy, and I think they're dangerous. And I think they're misguided personally, because they will take a text where there might be somewhat of a prophecy or a prophetic word, and they will make leaps and bounds to create a doctrine that is built on sand. You and I cannot put our confidence and our trust, no matter how well-meaning others may be, in a person. Our confidence and security must be in the written Word of God, not new prophecies that come and aren't even connected with the Word of God. That's why the prophecy and knowledge of Scripture is so very important. So this is what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, and follow along. So Peter says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though I know you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." You see, Peter says there is a truth, and this truth isn't up for speculation. It's not up for debate. Truth is truth, and God's Word is truth. I think it is right for me to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. And I want you to know, we should all look at this body as a tent. It is something that is temporary. It is something that is wearing out. It is not permanent. But the spirit that is housed currently in this tent, that spirit is eternal. Then he goes on to say, "Because I know that I will soon put it aside, as Jesus Christ has made clear to him. And I will make every effort," he says, "to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." And so, church, I see a lot of the posts, and I see people hanging on by a thread, just hanging on by an edge, like, "I've got to get out. I've got to go. I can't do this any longer." Well, like Mike said in his communion thoughts, we're never alone. We're connected to God Almighty and Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And I get it, and I understand it, and I have felt it too, but the Word of God, Scripture, prophetic Word of God, reminds me, maybe you're feeling the way you are, Patrick, because you're not keeping your focus where it needs to be, and that is the personal, uplifting, renewing, and refreshing God that you love and serve. And He is more than enough to conquer all the frustrations and all the fears that we have. God is enough. And I want to remind you of those things and refresh your memory that your God is enough. He's always enough. And He will supply you, even Peter says it, for everything you need for divine living and holiness. God, when He speaks, His Word is truth. And if He says to us He will provide for you everything that you need, then He will do it. And we've got to take hold of those precious promises that He has for us. But as he continues, he starts to say, "Look, I'm getting ready to tell you something that is more important than basically anything when you think about God and His Word." But he says to the people then and there, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the coming of Christ." Now, there's two comings of Christ. The first advent, the coming of the Son of God, the light that shines in the darkness, and His life lived, His death, burial, resurrection, His ascension into heaven, and His promise, and his angelic hosts promise that this Son of God that has ascended into the clouds will return just as he has left. Jesus is coming back. That is another prophetic word, prophecy, promise to God's people. It's not a fable. It's not a legend. It's not a fairy tale. It's not make-believe. It's not a made-up story. It is a truth. It is a fact. And therefore, knowing that, we listen to it all the more closely. And so Peter says, we were eyewitnesses. We were eyewitnesses. We were there. We heard the voice on the mountain. We saw Jesus transfigured. Someone says, well, let me see it. Let me experience and I'll believe it. Listen, when God does the work in your heart, you don't have to be there firsthand and eyewitness it. You can see it through the eyes of faith because we live by faith and not by sight. And the Spirit that lives in us makes and verifies that these truths are right and they are real. So when Peter says, we were there and we were eyewitnesses, by faith I see the face like sunshine. I see his clothes as white as light. I hear the voice, this is my Son whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. And I choose to listen. And I hope you by faith will choose to see and choose to listen. People, oh, show me a miracle, then I will believe. If you live by faith, you have seen all the miracles of the New Testament. You have seen Jesus walk on water. If you are a person that lives by faith and not by sight, you yourself, figuratively speaking, have walked on water. Praise our great God who, through the voice of the Holy Spirit, speaks to the world and speaks to his people. God is speaking and still speaking, and he is doing it through the Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the Holy Scriptures. Oh, if we could have a revival and a people return to the beauty and the love and the devotion and the passion for God's Word, to have the knowledge of his truth and to have a life that reflected his truth, wouldn't that be a great revival? I think so, because it is God's Word that touches the heart and changes people. So if we want to see revival, we want to pray for the Holy Spirit to touch people to love God and to love his Word and to devote themselves in living for him. Peter says, I and James and John, we were there and we saw it all and we experienced it all, and it changed our lives. And we waited until after Jesus was resurrected, as he asked me to, before we started telling this story. And now that I'm about to die, as the Lord has made known, I am sharing this story again. There's no telling how many times Peter shared and James shared and John shared it, but they're sharing it again, and especially at the end of his life. Well, the transition in verse 19 is this, with everything that I've said so far, for us as believers especially. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And I simply want to say, the Word of God is trustworthy. It is something you can believe. It is something that is reliable. It is something that comes outside of God through the inspiration of his breath. He spoke it, and it came to be. God's Word is reliable. So I encourage you to pick your Bibles up. If you don't have one, go get one. If you need one, email the church and we'll put a Bible in your hand. But the Word of God is reliable. All these other things, hug a tree, worship the moon and the sun, worship a crystal, just goes on and on and on. It's man-made. It's man-originated. And it is empty. And it supplies no peace or balm for the soul. The Word of God, number one, is reliable. It's the prophetic scripture. It's trustworthy. And we should embrace it. This is what he goes on to say. And you will do well to pay attention to it. And that pay attention means to hear it, to know it, and to live it, as to a light shining in a dark place. And there's that language again, a light shining in a dark place. God's Word, Jesus Christ Himself, the Word, the Logos, shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. That can be a little difficult to understand. And most scholars will say the idea is Jesus is called the bright morning star. And the backdrop of 1 and 2 Peter is be careful to make your calling and your election sure. Don't allow yourself to drift away from the Lord. So pay careful attention to the Word of God, because by having the Word of God in you, it keeps you sensitive to the Lord. It keeps you focused on the Lord. But there are times where we just continue to look to the Lord, fill ourselves with His Word, and then there's those beautiful moments where I get it. I understand it more fully than I did before. And it's against that backdrop of you have the Word, it's touched your heart to some degree, but you've lived with a sense of not really pursuing God's Word, not caring for it, not paying attention to it, not building your life on it. Then the things that you once knew and had touched your heart, they just don't do that anymore. Isn't that what is being talked about by John the Revelator when he's talking to the churches and he says, remember the height from which you've fallen and do what you did at first. Remember the height from which you've fallen. You were up here with the Lord in that relationship and His Word, but you've allowed yourself to stray. You've allowed yourself to drift because you have not valued to the degree that God desires His Word. Oh, brothers and sisters, friends, pursue God's Word. And I promise, if you pursue it with a humble heart, a heart that is searching, a heart that is diligent, a heart that is receptive and open, I just believe with all of my heart God will reveal Himself to you. In Proverbs chapter 2, even in the Old Testament, my son, if you accept my words and store them up within you, applying your heart to understanding, if you search for it as for silver and look for it as for gold, you will understand the Word of the Lord. We've got to pursue the Word of life in our lives. And that's what he's saying here. In our pursuit, there are those different times where there may be periods where things seem a little dry. And then all of a sudden, we get an insight from the Holy Spirit on His Word, and it dawns in our heart, and we are back where we should have been all along. And then he says in verse 20, above all else, above anything else that I've said, there's something he wants the people to understand. There's something that he wants you to understand. This is Peter again, near the end of his life. He wants you to understand this. So he says, above all else, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture, none at all, came about by the prophet's own interpretation. That never happened. We look at God's Word. It is of man, in the sense that they are used by God and carried along by the Holy Spirit, as he's getting ready to say, but it originated with God. And God is so great, so mighty, majesty and power, that he can work through our lives to accomplish his truth in this world. And that is what he did. He used mankind, men that he chose, to be moved and carried by the Holy Spirit to speak his truth so that we would know what his word is. That is a prophetic message, and it's right here in Scripture above all else. You must understand that God's word is from God, and it's not man-made, man-originated, or man-created. And so often that's what people want to claim. Well, it's not reliable. It's not true. Men wrote it. Men are imperfect. Therefore, the Word of God must be imperfect. No, the Word of God is not imperfect. The Word of God is like a lion, and it will defend itself, and it will defend itself to reveal that it is from God. So seek it with all of your heart and watch what God does in your life. So he concludes by saying, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, men of God, though flesh and blood, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So prophecy of Scripture originates not with man, but with God. And prophecy is the work of God through his Spirit, through mankind. So I hope this morning, as you hear part 5 in this series, God is Like a Lion, the prophecy of Scripture, don't get caught all up. I'm not saying it's not important, but don't get caught up in all the things that are a little bit murky and unclear and you can't know, and the things that, well, this is sort of fun to talk about. Is there going to be a rapture, or is there not going to be a rapture? What is this tribulation? What's it going to look like? And who is the false prophet? And who is, you know, the Antichrist? And do we see it over here and over there, and it's happening and it's all unfolding? Listen, those things you can pursue through Scripture. But you make sure that when you do and you arrive at any conclusion, you don't take big leaps. You prove it and understand it for yourself through the Word of God. It is what we build our lives on. It is what gives us the staying power through the storm. And it's always a light in our heart. And it gives us the sense of eternal, everlasting endurance. God's Word, my friends, is something to be cherished. I don't worship the Bible. I don't think you should bow down and worship a Bible. But you should worship the God who has given you the Bible. And that Bible and God, it's his word. And so it needs to be somewhere of prominence in your life, and it needs to have a place in your heart. It shouldn't just be on a bookshelf or in the back of the car seat or on a table, coffee table, so it can be there sort of as a show. The Word of God needs to be in your heart, and you need to stand on it. I choose to stand on the Word of God, and so does the leadership of the Kentwood Christian Church and the ministry team of this church. We choose and we believe from Genesis to Revelation that God's Word is truth. And I pray that you will listen to God's Word today and in the days ahead. God bless you as you seek the Lord.